Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Hello, Encounter Church. So great to have you here at our Wednesday night online service. Welcome to those of you that are with us every week, new people watching us. Thank you for tuning in, praying that God really blesses you tonight through this message. And if you're looking for a good home church and don't have one, you're in the Denver area, check us out at Encounter Church in the Centennial area. God's word always goes forth, great worship, and some super wonderful people. So thank you for tuning in tonight. I want to ask everybody a question tonight. What would you do if you had somebody come up to you and ask you to go back to a people that enslaved you years earlier, treated you harshly, and said they want you to go back to those very same people and be nice to them, do something good for them, bring something important to them, maybe preach the gospel to them. And yet these same people have treated you very harshly and very, very violently in the past. What would you do? Would you go back and do that? Would you go back and change their future for them if you could? Let me ask you this. If you were to go back, would you go back with this purpose, with the intent of changing their culture and not leaving them the same way you found them? Would that entice you to go back to people who treated you harshly, who enslaved you? If you had the opportunity to go back and bring something into their society that changed their culture in a very powerful way, maybe that would entice you to go back. Tonight, I want to share with you about a young man who did do exactly that. He went back to a people who enslaved him for 6 years. They enslaved him when he was 17 years old. He was captured in England and carried away by pirates in the 5th century back to Ireland. And in Ireland, he was sold off to a man who enslaved him for 6 long difficult years. That same young man who was 17 when it happened then was able to escape and go back to England 6 years after his captivity. Treated harshly, worked hard. Of course, as a slave, wasn't given anything good except a place to sleep and maybe some bad, foul food. That young man today is known as St. Patrick. Today we're celebrating. Today is Wednesday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And the story behind St. Patrick is a story for all of us. It's not just for the Irish. It's about a young man who can teach us something concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and how we can impact a culture where we live today. And by culture, I don't just mean our society that we are living in America. It could be the culture of where you work, your employment, the culture of your home that might not be the best that you would like it to be, the culture of your neighborhood that might just be somewhat unfriendly, and you like to see God influence and impact the culture of your neighborhood. See, we are carriers, we believers, we are carriers of a secret power. We're carriers of the kingdom of God. And where the kingdom goes, there is an opportunity to impact the culture around us. We can sit back and complain, or we can do something to change it. St. Patrick was that slave as a young man at 17. He escaped when he was, it must have been around 20, 23 years old. He escaped and went back to England. It was in England that he had a powerful encounter with God. And that powerful encounter with God changed his life. He might have been born again a little bit before that, but he definitely came into a powerful relationship with God and Jesus Christ after he got back to England, had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. And in those times of training and development, after he went back when he was around 23, it possibly was another 5, 6, 7 years that transpired that he had been growing in Christ, growing in God. And God gave him a vision of a man calling him back to Ireland. And this man was saying, Paul, in fact, think of the Apostle Paul's Macedonia vision. When Paul the Apostle was called to come over to Macedonia and help us, same thing happened to Patrick. He had a man calling him in this vision, saying, and in fact, the man literally said to him, and these are in St. Patrick's Confessions book, he said, "Holy boy, come help us. Holy boy, come help us." This was a cry of a pagan society in Ireland. No Christianity yet. No one had ever known Jesus Christ yet. They worshiped many gods, lots of superstition, lots of violence. It was ruled by different kings and serfdoms throughout the island of Ireland. And yet God opened a door to Patrick through this vision, "Holy boy, come help us." Patrick went back and didn't waste any time to get there. And when he got there, it turned out that he never returned back home to England. Once he got to Ireland, God moved in his life and in his ministry like he did in the Apostle Paul's life. He started moving in Patrick's life. And after 23, 24, 25 years of ministry in Ireland, at the end of his life, Patrick had started 300 churches, had impacted the whole island of Ireland, had seen, they say, now it's hard to know the exact estimate, but they say he had seen around 120,000 converts to Jesus Christ. And in that act of obedience, of going back to a place where he suffered, he allowed the kingdom of God to impact that culture. And not only did he impact it in that day for those years, Ireland from that time forward became a sending center throughout Europe of missionaries that were springing up out of these churches that were planted by Patrick, 300 churches, and others that Patrick raised up. And Ireland became a sending of missionaries around Europe, into Scotland and other places that the gospel of Jesus Christ went forward. So not only did Patrick impact Ireland, he literally impacted all of Europe because of what he did. But think about this, and I want to talk real quick tonight, just 5 points of how he did this. But think about this. He went back to a people that enslaved him. He went back to a people that cared less about him. He had to escape from them, and then he had to go back to them with the love of God. How do you do that? How do we do that in our jobs? How do we do that in our own society? How do we do that in a place where we're not loved, not accepted, maybe mistreated? How do we carry the kingdom of God and impact those cultures around us? I want to start just with 2 scriptures, and then we'll look at these 5 points about Patrick. The first one, and I want to tie these into who he was as a man of God. He was an apostle. I know we think of St. Patrick and the snakes that he chased out of Ireland and all the tradition, but really Patrick was a man of God. He was an apostle of the kingdom of God. He saw miracles. Tradition says he saw people healed. He saw miraculous signs and wonders. He literally had that kind of ministry that the Apostle Paul had, but in a smaller way on one island of Ireland. How did he do this? Acts chapter 1, we'll look at this, and then we're going to look at Galatians 2:20. Acts 1 verse 7 simply says, "It is not for you to know the seasons or the times which the Father has fixed," this is Jesus talking, "by his own authority, but you will receive power." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power to be my witnesses, Jesus said there. The key to a man's life like Patrick, and a key to our life, is the power of the Holy Spirit that impacts a society around us through us. None of us can do this on our own. Patrick couldn't have done it on our own. How could he have gone back to a people who mistreated him on his own? He had power. The second scripture I want to read is in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. A very familiar scripture, but please listen to it. Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Patrick did this through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he also did it by knowing Christ in him and knowing Christ living through him. See, you and I can't do anything on our own, but Christ in us can change the world. Christ in us can change a culture. And Patrick understood the power of God, and he understood that the authority of God through Jesus Christ and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Tonight, as we're talking about this, I want you to consider these 5 points I'm going to just bring out rather quickly here on how maybe Patrick utilized the power and the presence of Jesus Christ to change a nation for decades and centuries to come. The first point I want you to think about is Patrick had to have the power of the anointing of God. You and I all are anointed. I know if you're watching me tonight and you don't even know what I'm talking about, you don't understand the Bible, I want you to know, first of all, you must know Jesus Christ. You must be born again, Jesus said in John 3:3. In order to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. But once you're born again, you have the power of the Holy Spirit given to you. We are receiving as believers the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And with that comes power and the anointing. The anointing breaks chains off of people. The anointing sets people free. Patrick went to Ireland with an anointing on him. I remember when I was first born again, the anointing of God that came on me, that shook me, would literally shake me physically at times, but would energize me with his power and fearlessness to tell others about Christ, to do what he called me to do. Because as I move forward in him, his anointing would flow through me. And it's the anointing that really touches the lives of people. Have you ever been around a person who did not know Christ, but because the anointing on your life, it moved that person into a hunger and a thirst, and maybe even an emotional moment where tears would roll down their face, and they wouldn't even know why? It's the anointing, it's the presence of God. For us to impact our culture, our homes, our jobs, our city, our society, we need the anointing. You receive that anointing by faith. You read about it in his word, God's word, and you walk it out in relationship with him every day. Number one, Patrick was anointed. Number two, Patrick had the power of forgiveness. He couldn't have gone back to Ireland without forgiving the very people that kidnapped him. Pirates that kidnapped him and sold him. It reminds you of the story of Joseph, who was kidnapped and stolen and sent off by his brothers. Joseph had to forgive. And in that forgiveness, it opened up the whole land of Egypt and opened up the whole plan and counsel of God through Joseph's life. Patrick forgave. It's really a connection to that anointing, because in the act of forgiveness, the anointing was freer to flow. Patrick could not have done this without forgiving the very ones that hurt him. And you can't do this either. Forgive those that have hurt you. Forgive those that you don't get along with at work. Forgive those in your family that might be mistreating you. The power of forgiveness releases the power of God to liberate the very people that are maybe hurting you or offending you. Forgiveness is a freedom. Unforgiveness is a chain of bondage. Tonight, forgive. You want to change your culture? Forgive. You want to set people free? Forgive them. But you don't know what they did to me, Pastor Pat. I do understand that some of you have gone through things I never have. But I also understand God had to forgive you, and God had to forgive me for our atrocious behavior and put it on Jesus Christ. So if we are forgiven by God for what we've done, we can forgive others for what they've done. Do that and you'll see the anointing of God flow. Forgiveness, a powerful tool and principle in the kingdom of God. The third point that I believe Patrick had to have operated in was the power of his calling. He was called of God to go back. Have you ever felt the call of God on you? Oh, but I'm not called to full-time ministry. Are you called to be a husband? Are you called to be a wife, a parent? Are you called into a particular area of the body of Christ to minister? Not full-time, just ministry of whatever it might be, serving and giving. There's a call on all of us. Number one, all of us are called by God. And two, what he has for us in this earth. We all are called. We all are anointed for that calling. We all have the hand of God on us to do what he's called us to do. But sometimes we run from it. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we're naive about what it looks like or the gifting it is. But regardless of why maybe you're not sure of your calling, you need to press into the Father and ask him, what do you call me to do? Go to Romans chapter 12. Read those giftings that are there, the giftings that we're all called to do, one or two of them in all of us. Go to Ephesians 4 and look at those giftings that are there. Ask the Father what you're called to do. Patrick was called back to a place that he left. It's the calling of God that equips you to fulfill what he's called you to do. He'll do it. If God called, he'll equip. If God sends, he'll make sure you have the tools you need to get the job done. So you want to change your culture, your society, your family, whatever it might be going on in your life, receive the call of God to be a peacemaker, a lover of men, a servant. Receive the call of God to go into your cultures around your life and convey the kingdom of God or the presence of Jesus Christ. You're called, accept that, and let the Holy Spirit live it through you. The fourth thing that I believe Patrick had to have had to do what he did, he had a powerful courage. He had a powerful courage. Fear will hinder you every step of the way in your life, not just as a believer in Christ, but just as any one of us here living in our lives. Fear will stop the action of God. Courage will release the action of God. Think of Joshua chapter 1. God told Joshua numerous times, be of strong courage. Be of courage. Do not fear. Do not fear. Be courageous. Paul was called by God to do what he was called to do in the book of Acts. It was a courage that God gave him to walk into towns that he knew he would be stoned, he would be beaten, he would be rejected. But the courage of God welled up in him where he could walk into the darkness and let the light shine. Courage is a gift. God will give you courage today. God, if you're afraid of what's happening in our society today, afraid of what you're hearing, afraid of what's going on around us, ask God for courage to stand up to the Goliaths that are around you. Don't let fear stop what God's called you to do. Patrick could have stayed in England and said, no, I'm not going back. Are you crazy? They tried to kill me back then. They're going to try to kill me again. His courage took him places that nothing else could in the Holy Spirit. And planting 300 churches takes a lot of courage in a society run by superstition, false gods, the Druids, and all that was happening in Ireland in those days. Courage, beloved. Ask God for it. If he calls you to serve and I'm afraid to serve, get courage. He wants you to talk to somebody about Jesus, be courageous. Don't cower. Don't cower to the fear of our day. Stand up into the courage of our moment in the kingdom of God. This is a day of courage that we need. So be courageous, beloved. And if you don't have it, ask Jesus to give that to you and to be that in you and for you. Be courageous. The last thing I want to share with you is Patrick, I believe, knew his Savior. He knew his Savior. Before I look at that, let me just rehearse with you real quick. He had the power of the Holy Spirit. So he had the anointing of God. He knew about forgiveness, the forgiveness of God. He understood his calling. And in that calling, he was able to go. He understood and walked in courage. Did he ever have fear? Of course. But the courage of God overcame that fear. But the last thing is, Patrick knew a Savior. That Savior is none other than Jesus Christ. And that's what I read here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. See, God's not calling you and me to go out there and do this. He didn't say, Pat, go change the world. Pat, go out there and be the Savior to all people. He said, Pat, go on the cross with Christ, die with Christ, be resurrected in the power of Christ. And then it's no longer you that live, but Christ lives through you, in you, for you. It's no longer we that live, beloved. It's Christ, our Savior. If we would be aware of the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that's in us, we would change the world. We would freely go, but now we're afraid because We think it's on us, our strength, our knowledge, our wisdom, our ability. None of us have any ability to do this. These are kingdom things we're talking about. These are spiritual things we're talking about. Christ is the Savior. Christ is the one who changed Ireland. Christ is the one who lived through Patrick. Christ is the one who can change the world. And it's Jesus Christ, beloved, that can change what's happening in your home, your job, our country. It's Jesus. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Patrick understood Christ. You say, well, how do you know that he knew Christ that well? How do you know, Pat, that he was so close to Christ and that Jesus Christ was the key to his life? I know because he wrote a poem. Patrick wrote a poem that's become well known for now all these centuries. This is, you know, close to 1,500 years ago that Patrick walked with the Holy Spirit. And he wrote a poem, and I want to read the poem to you. It's the poem called Christ With Me. And many of you might know this, maybe you've heard it, but I want to close with this poem tonight and pray for you before we close. But this poem was written by him, and this is how I know he knew Jesus Christ personally, powerfully, and very much so in a way that impacted the culture he was called to in Ireland. He wrote this: Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ at my right, and Christ at my left, Christ in breadth, Christ in length, Christ in height, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks to me, Christ in the eye of every man that sees me, Christ in the ear of every man that hears me. This was written by a man named Patrick, known as St. Patrick. And he, in this poem, is basically saying everywhere he went, and everything he did, it was Christ speaking, Christ being seen, Christ that was impacting Ireland. It was Christ, the Savior, that transformed a culture. Beloved, tonight, lean on Christ in you and for you. And know this, God is wanting you to not just admire people like St. Patrick that changes cultures and changes societies. God is wanting you to rise up to do the same in your life, your arena, your world, your neighborhood. Don't sit back and just admire these men of God. Ask God to use you to do the same thing through your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for these that are here tonight, listening, hearing. I pray that you would challenge them, Father, in this St. Patrick's Day. Father, as we honor this dear man, St. Patrick, who we honor in traditional ways in different churches, we honor him. I'm wearing a green shirt tonight because tradition of on St. Patrick's Day. But oh God, this man was so much more. He was a man of God. He was a man of power. He was a man of the kingdom. He was a man of courage. And I'm asking, Father God, that you would help challenge us through his example to rise up in our day, our culture, our lives, to not just stand back and say, use somebody else, God, but to stand up and say, use me, God. Use me now. Use me now. Father, I pray you touch these that are watching tonight. Draw them closer to you, Jesus, as Christ, the Savior. And if you're watching tonight and you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ, that's all you have to do right now. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, be my Savior. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to go this way anymore. Save me. Help me to become born again. And by faith, God, I accept Christ into my life. And I thank you for your forgiveness of my sins in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, beloved. Thank you for watching tonight. Happy St. Patrick's Day. But more than that, may the power of the Holy Spirit be on you and through you every day of your life. In Jesus' name. God bless. We'll see you at church Sunday morning. Good night.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.